Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone as the Utah Jazz fall to the Charlotte Hornets. Thanks very much for tuning in, whether it's live on Facebook after every game or on the Locked On Jazz podcast. We greatly appreciate it. So the game was tied at 85 with 5:58 left, and the Jazz just didn't get it done down the stretch. The Hornets go on a 14-3 run. Jazz don't have any field goals in the final 3:07. And while much of this night was about the brilliance of Donovan Mitchell, quite honestly, the last 5 minutes was about a rookie probably playing a little bit out of position he's naturally playing, having a tough stretch.
It really did, and you could just tell the Jazz ended up with 15 turnovers and 14 points before those turnovers came late in that fourth quarter, which is, when the Jazz are trying to stay in the basketball game, give themselves a chance to win. But, you know, this has been a long road trip. The final game of a road trip, a lot of times those legs just don't hold up.
Well, the Jazz shoot 4 of 17 in that fourth quarter, so you wonder whether that's part of it. You know, I go back to something, Ron, I've talked about an awful lot this year, and I just kind of am going to mention it again and just remind people. Go look at Damian Lillard's rookie year. He plays 82 games as the point guard. He was a four-year Weber State player. He knew how to play the point guard position, and yet a team that had LaMarcus Aldridge, who's an all-star, who had who also had Wesley Matthews and Nicholas Batum on it, I think won about 31 games with Damian Lillard as their starting point guard, and Damian's a really good player. So it is hard to win in this league when you have rookies as your primary guy, accentuated, I think, tonight by the fact that they started double-teaming him, trapping him, and he had a hard time. So let's get into a little bit of the X's and O's. They double-teamed Donovan for three of those four turnovers, I believe. What happened on those plays?
Well, they double-teamed him. They forced him to give the basketball up, and then he ended up turning it over a couple of times. One time the clock was running down. He had to take a desperate, 30-foot jump shot there, which I wish they would have been able to get a better shot. But experience, David, is the best teacher, and you know that, and that is in everything, especially in games in basketball, especially in late in the fourth quarter, you know, when you're making a run and every possession is so crucial. And I think the Jazz ran into that here tonight. And playing at home, the Charlotte Hornets, you have to give it to them. They came up with some big plays.
Donovan ends up the night with zero assists tonight. I'm just going to caution you, if you watch the basketball game, there were plenty of terrific passes that he made earlier in the game that should have been shots. And frankly, you know, the one thing you could say, there was a two-play sequence where the Jazz got wide-open corner three looks from their best corner three shooter in Joe Ingles. He missed them both. And then weird plays the other way that kind of, frankly, swung this game, and so that the Jazz never broke through. There was a play that went in the backcourt, and they ended up with it, and then another razzle-dazzle that ended up with Marvin Williams getting a second chance. Those plays probably as vital as anything as often is the case with how a game plays.
You know, and you just brought up a point there. Joe is the player, Joe Ingles we're talking about, that has played in every ball game, and he's played getting more minutes than he's ever played before, and he just might be getting a little tired there as well. Give your hat off to Quinn. I think Quinn recognizes that. He's been in this business a long time. He's been canceling shoot-arounds and just been having a film session and maybe a walkthrough or something like that in the hotel just to make sure that the guys aren't running and trying to keep those legs fresh. But that's awfully tough to do. So you see why so many teams with star players that spend 38 minutes a game, like we'll just use LeBron as an example, out there on the floor where they end up having rest days or rest games because of the schedule and the amount of time they end up spending on the floor.
Prior to the five-minute stretch in which Donovan struggled, he was incredible. Give me your thoughts on what you saw to him prior to that.
On who?
Donovan.
No, Donovan. He was awesome. I mean, it was like he had watched a lot of film and he knew exactly what he could get done against this team. And once you get it going, I mean, you feel like everything you throw up is going to go in the basket. And the thing about that, I didn't see one bad shot. I mean, he was breaking the defense down. He got in the mid-range area. He caught the basketball and got rid of it, shooting the three-point shot. I didn't see one bad shot. So, and he still ended up with making 10 of 20 shots, even though he did not score in that fourth quarter. What did he get? 2 points in the fourth quarter?
35 points on 20 shot attempts is remarkable.
Yeah, that is remarkable. And again, he's showing us right now that, you know, that's and He just gets the job done. Plus, he shoots great free throw percentage, free throws. And as you mentioned, a lot of those passes that he threw, I mean, to the guys, they just didn't make shots. But that's the reason he didn't have any assists tonight.
Donald Warner says, Hood needs to attack the rim more. Too much camping and not enough attacking. I'll tell you what, Donald. I have been with you 110% on this from the last 3 years. Harped on it probably too much. And I think we might be wrong. Let me give you my thought on this. I have watched Rodney this entire road trip and for the last 10 games so obsessed with trying to draw fouls that he's lost his game.
Yeah.
And you have kept telling me this whole time, well, he doesn't do that. Yeah. And I think you're right. And now there's two parts of this question. One is, can Rodney be an efficient enough offensive player without drawing fouls? I think the thought that both he, the questioner, and I have had is that's what you have to have. You have to have 9 free throws, 10 free throws like Donovan did to be a great scorer. Maybe that's not who he is. Maybe he's more of a Kyle Korver. Maybe he's more of a Danny Green. Maybe he's more of a catch pure Wayne Ellington and occasionally breaks in the basket like he did when he got Kaminsky on that beautiful drive rather than just being so bothered. I feel like the foul-drawing quest has undone Rodney Hood a little bit.
You know, you're absolutely right. And just think about what I'm saying here. You hear coaches, you hear players, you hear the media, you hear guys talking about, we need to get physical. We need to start banging. We need to do this. And when you're not naturally that kind of player, what happens? You get into foul trouble because you're not a natural, just physical player. Rodney Hood is not a guy that goes to the basket and tries to draw a foul and all this kind of stuff. Rodney Hood is a player that can get into 8 feet away from the basket, get over the top of you and shoot it. He had a couple of great moves here tonight, driving to his right. He pivoted 360, came back to the left, and shot right over the top of Kaminsky. And that's his game right there. If there's opportunities there to get to the rim, take them, but don't try to force it. I think, as far as he's concerned. Some players, you can force it and make some things happen. That's not Rodney Hood.
Otherwise, his game is probably, we saw tonight, Jazz ran a neat little play where they ran a pick and roll in the middle of the floor, some action, and Rodney popped to the top and got that straightaway three. And maybe that's where we just have to concede that that's where Rodney's at his best and stop forcing him out of his comfort zone. He's got to find his comfort zone again. He was not good on this trip. The Jazz have to have him be good. He was 4 of 12 tonight. His last 10 games coming into tonight, Rod's been shooting 37% from the field and 29% from three. So the Jazz need him to get going and maybe let him play to his strengths instead of trying to have him convert something. I don't know. I'm conceding, basically. The reason I brought that up is I thought it was a great question, and I'm kind of saying I think I've been wrong for the longest time on this, and maybe that's the way to get him going. Some people have asked, Dante Exum warmed up before the game or did a warm-up on the floor. It was the first time he did a public work. I do not have any idea what this means to his recovery and whether he'll play again. I know Dante wants to play this year. That is all he's allowed to do right now. This was not like a portion of what he's allowed to do right now, talking to Mike Elliott before the game. That's all he's allowed to do. You can check out that Instagram on DLock09 if you'd like to.
Well, and you just touched on it, where they can go and look at what he was doing. They had him making passes kind of in an awkward position, you know, not just a two-hand chest pass or a one-handed pass there. They had him making passes like going across his body with both hands, you know, that type of thing, just to see. And Mike Elliott was watching him very, very closely, trying to see and watching his face, I would imagine, to see if there was any pain or something in his face. So he's coming along. Not really sure how far away he is, but you know, it's good to see him out there on the floor.
I think what Mike's really watching is see if there's any unnatural movement, because none of these guys will tell Mike Elliott if they're feeling pain.
Yeah.
And so I've watched him watch Rudy, and he knows, like, Rudy's not telling me. Rudy's going to tell me he's fine. Yeah. So I got to watch and see if his movement's unnatural. That's what it comes down to. Thank you very much. The guy wants us to get a tripod. I'm not traveling with one. Sorry. So you have to look up our noses.
That's a tough break.
Hey, I already traveled. My backpack is already, like, 85 pounds. All right. That wraps us up.
And I'm not putting it in mine.
Yeah, Ron ain't doing it. Ron ain't doing that. You know why? Because Ron's a – oh, wait, I can't say that word. Only Trump can. No, I'm just kidding. I love you.